I know that every family has different Thanksgiving traditions. One of the traditions that we have in our family is we have a little Thanksgiving book. Robin and I bought it shortly after we were married. So it was back in 1993, our oldest son was less than 2 years old, that we started to do this thing around the table at Thanksgiving where we would each share what we were most thankful for. I think the first thing that Sean said was pickles. And I was reading through the book, and I saw that later, Brian, our second son, also was thankful for pickles when he was young. So I don't know what you were feeding him a lot of pickles or whatever. But and then when Sean was 16, I read this. He said, "I'm thankful for my parents, even though they are not buying me a car." And 1 year, Kyle was thankful that his hair looked good. So I thought that was interesting too. But as I was flipping through the book this past week, I mean, I noticed all these different things, these experiences that we've had, hard things that we've gone through. There was cancer there, deaths in the family, job transitions. You know, our move from California to Maine was there. COVID-19 was in there from last year. And then this year, I know that we're going to be thankful for our new granddaughter, Madeline. In fact, Brian sent a group text out earlier, and he said, "For Thanksgiving, let's just save time and write Maddie in the Thanksgiving book under 2021. I think that reflects both the fact that we are very thankful for this new addition to our family, and also Brian, like me, struggles with you know, kind of that ritual that we do around the table. I don't know what it is, the way that I'm wired, but I get stressed out, actually, the week before. Because I'm like, I got a plan for this so that when it's my turn, I say the right thing. And I mean, I really actually get stressed about this, even though it's just my own family. So I can imagine that today, as we're going to be sharing with one another, I mean, some of you look at these microphones and you've already broken down in a cold sweat. And you're saying, just don't call me out by name. And for sure, I will not get anywhere close to that microphone. And there are others of you that are just trying to work up the courage to do it. And others of you that can't wait to share with others you know, what God has done for you. The one thing that I want us all to know is that saying thank you to God is something that really puts a smile on his face. I mean, this is something that is done a lot in Scripture, and the word thank, or different forms of that word, show up 170 different times in the Bible. And there's one command in particular that is repeated word for word six different times in the Bible. It's this command that's up here on the screen. Just say this out loud with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Say it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And if you said that four more times, that would equal the number of times that the exact same command is in the different passages of Scripture. And I was just wondering, like, how did that happen? How is it that this one passage just got repeated over and over and over again? And I went on a little bit of a search, and I found out that that command was written by King David. It was part of a Thanksgiving celebration, really. He wrote a song to celebrate the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Now, for those of you that don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, you've not seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, so you go, well, is it like Noah's Ark, or what is it, you know? Well, let me just tell you, it was a box. It was 52 inches long, 31 inches deep, 31 inches wide, so 52 by 31 by 31, and inside that box were the two stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments were inscribed. There was also a jar of manna in there. And there was the staff of Aaron, Moses' brother, because that staff had been used by God to do miraculous things in the history of Israel. And so there were those three items in that ark, that box, and it was kept in what was called the tabernacle. It's a word that just basically means tent. And it was a mobile temple, really. It was a place where people of Israel went to if they wanted to get close to God. So there was this big courtyard that they would go into, and the tent was kind of right there in the middle of that, and another name for it was the holy place. Okay, so it was like 30 feet, this tent was 30 feet long, 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, and right in the middle of the holy place there was a curtain, and behind the curtain, that that cube, that 15 by 15 by 15 cube, that was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And, you know, it was a place that people did not casually go into. It was called the most holy place. Actually, one priest, the high priest, went in there once a year. There's a lid on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and it was made of pure gold, and there were these two golden statues, one on each side, facing. They were like these angelic creatures that were facing each other with their arms outstretched. And so there was like this empty place. There was this void in between, above the lid, with underneath these wings. And this whole contraption was called the mercy seat. And that was where God localized his presence on planet Earth. Now, we know that God cannot be contained like that. We know that there's no way that you could ever, like, shrink God down. But he said, I'm going to make this place right there on above the ark. That's the special place. That's where you can go if you want to find me. And that ark had traveled with the Israelites for 40 years through the wilderness. And then for 400 years, it was in various places around the promised land. But on the day that David put it in the tabernacle in Jerusalem, that was a national day of thanksgiving. David wrote this song. He began with these words: give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. And then right near the end of the song came the lyrics: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You know how sometimes you hear a song and you may not remember or maybe even understand, like with Elton John, you can never understand like all the words, but there's like one line that you remember, right? And that's the one line that you'll just remember over and over and over again. Well, that's what this was like. This one line: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. It was just unforgettable. Maybe one reason why was because of the word that David used for love there. It's the Hebrew word chesed. Say that with me: chesed. Okay, if you didn't get somebody wet in front of you, then you didn't get it right. Say it again: chesed. That is a word that is such an amazing word, because it combines some different ideas. There's more than just love there. It's really love that is strengthened by dependability. Like a fabric, like there's the threads going in one direction is the threads of God's love, his kindness, his compassion, his mercy. And then there are the threads of God's dependability kind of going the other way, right? There's his trustworthiness, his faithfulness, the fact that he can be counted on, that he'll never break his promises. So to say that God's chesed, his love, endures forever means that there will never be a time when God does not love us. Now, he shows his love for us in very different ways at different times, but he's never unloving toward us. And there will never be a time in the future when he's going to stop loving us. He always will. His love endures forever. And on that day of thanksgiving, the people of Israel celebrated the dependable love of God that brought them out of bondage and into the promised land. But long after that day, when most people had forgotten most of that song, that one line lingered. You see it in Psalm 106, again in Psalm 107, twice in Psalm 118, and then Psalm 136 begins with the very same words: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And then 25 more times in that same psalm, that last line is repeated: his love endures forever. That one line kind of became the national anthem of Israel. It was repeated again and again at the most important Thanksgiving celebrations in the nation's history. When Solomon, David's son, built the very first temple in Israel. Say, Casey, they got rid of the tent, the mobile temple, and they built a stone temple. And when that temple was dedicated to God, guess what the people sang? Yeah, they sang, the Lord is good, his love endures forever. And when they did that, the temple was filled, the scripture says, with this cloud. And fire came down and consumed the animal sacrifices. And all the Israelites knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, His love endures forever. And then four generations later, when the southern tribes of Israel were under attack by a huge army, a king by the name of Jehoshaphat created a worship team to actually march in front of Judah's soldiers in battle. And he said, here's what I want you to sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they sang those words, Israel won the battle. They won a military victory because of the worship that was ahead of the soldiers. And then hundreds of years later, those very same people rebelled against God so stubbornly that he allowed them to be invaded by Babylonia, a superpower of that day. And they were forced to leave Israel. All of them were. And 70 years later, they were allowed to return. First thing they did was to rebuild the temple. Guess what they sang as they worked? The Lord is good. His love to Israel endures forever. It's a declaration of gratitude and trust in the Lord that God's people have been making for 3,000 years. And so today, we just continue that tradition. I don't know if you know this, but we just sang these words in the song. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. His love endures forever. And now we are going to do what David told God's people to do. We are going to make known what God has done for us during this past year. We're going to tell of all his wonderful acts. For some of you, that's going to mean sharing something really special that God did during this last year. And you're just so thankful for that. For others of you, you may talk about the way that God has been faithful to you in the midst of something hard. That he's been present. That he's shown his love for you in the midst of trials. And maybe some of you are just going to thank God for things that you tend to take for granted at other times during the year. But who would like to be first in sharing with the church family what God has done for you? Teresa.
It's been a rough year for me. In July, my mom went in for surgery, which is supposed to be routine surgery. And long story short, they found cancer, and she was gone within a matter of days. And that same month, my folks were supposed to move into a long-term care facility. So I had to go down to Austin, you know, plan the funeral, clear out 48 years of stuff out of my parents' huge house. And when I was in a meeting about my mom's estate, I got a call that our dog passed away unexpectedly. So it was really tough. And it's just, you know, there's been a lot of other stuff going on. And I just want to say how thankful I am for my husband. And he is not here right now because our dog chomped down on his finger. They were playing. So he was in the ER all night, and he's okay, but he's at home. So I can say whatever I want about him. But we've been married 35 years, and David's just the most amazing guy. And I'm just so thankful that God brought him into my life. You know, I was 22 when I met him. He was 30, and I didn't know what to look for in a husband. But, you know, God had it planned out, and he has just been my rock all year. And I just want to tell God thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. And we who know you have watched you continue to praise God and trust in God through a lot of hard things. I mean, you're just really sharing one thing about of many that you could share. I remember when your dad, you thought your dad was going to die, and God really had, you know, really extended his life. That's amazing. And your whole family has gone through lots of trials, and you've been a rock of somebody that we really look to that trust God in the midst of that. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for providing that model for us. Yeah, Mary?
I am so thankful to God for bringing a couple here today, Rob and Holly Groom. Many of you know them. They raised their children, their five children here in Cumberland on Orchard Road. Holly taught at Greeley Middle School, and Rob is a perfusionist. If you don't know what that is, he keeps people alive when they're going through heart surgery. So he pumps your heart and your lungs while you're being opened up or whatever that entails. And he was at the Maine Medical Center. Both of them this past year have retired, and in June they moved to Kenya. And they took their gifts and they're now sharing them with Kenyans, and they practice out of a hospital called Tenwick, which is a Christian hospital, and their motto is, "We treat, God heals." And so they're in a wonderful group of people over there doing what they do. And I'll tell you, the ketchup over there is yellow and it looks like Jell-O. I'm not sure I would want to move to a nation that had ketchup that's yellow and looks like Jell-O. But they are doing that. And so I praise God that among in our town, right here in Cumberland, right in North Yarmouth, we have people who are called and who are obedient. And I praise God for Holly and Rob today.
That's great.
Thank you, Lord.
Great to have you guys with us today. Cindy and Tom.
I just want to thank God for his steadfast love and for his grace and mercy, for his healing. He is a wonder-working God that we can trust. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. On July 7th, as I was hiking an AT trail in Rangeley, there was a root attached on both ends, and my hiking shoe fit perfectly in there. And I ended up breaking my ankle, tibia, fibula in 8 places. I could not walk off the mountain, and so my husband went to get help. Within 5 minutes of him leaving, 2 nurses came and they wrapped my ankle for me. My husband came out onto a road that was gated, and a car happened to be driving up. Tom couldn't get cell service, so he waved down the people, and they said, "We'll give you a ride up to the top of the hill. We only come up here twice a year." And at that time, God, you can just see how God is the blessed controller of all things. So Tom was able to get help. Then we had wonderful people that were Border Patrol agents, fire and rescue people come, and they carried me off the mountain, took me to a hospital. There was no room, so I stayed out in the hallway. The surgeon, the doctor that was attending said, "I can't get you into a room to give you pain medication, but we need to fix your back dislocation." He said, "I've never done it." I said, "I have faith." He did it. And they took me to get x-rays. We have a wonderful Christian friend who also happens to be a doctor in Portland. We asked the x-rays be sent to him. He happened to be between patients. He looked at the x-ray, said, "I can't do the surgery. You need to see a trauma surgeon. This is who I'd get you to see." God allowed me to see that surgeon. 5 hours of surgery, 5 pieces of hardware, 90 screws later. I'm standing here today because of God's grace. I want to thank you all for praying. I want to thank the people that allow us to watch the service when we can't be here, because that's a lifeline that we need. I want to thank Joe Campbell, because if I send out a text, I know Joe's praying, and he gets other people praying, and what a wonderful, precious gift that has been to me, Joe. I just want to thank you, and I want, most especially want to thank my best earthly friend. This is a beautiful man. I see the beauty of Jesus in him, the way he has served me, been compassionate and loving towards me over these months of recovery. I just saw a lot of Jesus in him. So I just want to say, I love you, Lord. And I think when you go through these times of testing and trials, you become more courageous and bold. I work at L.L. Bean. Now, if God opens the door, I am just going to proclaim Jesus Christ, because people need the Lord.
I just I just want to say that, you know, we use the cliche, everything happens for a reason. And we've had more people that we've shared this story with was, wow, what a coincidence. Other people would say, you know, I think it's where serendipity met synchronicity. The universe brought you together. And I said, you know, God, I totally respect that. But my serendipity and synchronicity has a name, and he's Jehovah. And he's the blessed controller of all things. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And so there's no way that I can explain all of these coincidences apart. I tell them, hey, a blind man can see the hand of God in this whole thing. The thing I'm thankful for is this woman by my side, my mate and my best friend for 35 years, because I got the opportunity to get a glimpse of what the world would be like without her. And I will tell you that it was an eye-opener for me. And some people, she would say, you know, I feel like such a burden. I said, no, this is a blessing. I was on a very short leash for about 5 months, and I loved every minute of it, because it wasn't a duty, it was a delight to serve her. And I said, you paid it forward a long, long time ago. You've done it for 35 years. I've done it for like 5 weeks, all right? So I thank God for her. She's the most godly woman I know. She loves Jesus, and she's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so I thank God for her and for the healing. And I just, last thing, in about 20 minutes, our daughter goes in for a CAT scan, and I just would pray that God's will be done, like it's been right along, and that he would prepare us for whatever, and her, for whatever news comes as a result of that. So praise the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Thank you. I know that there are a lot of us that, when we hear about your gratitude for one another, Teresa, you did the same thing for David, that there are many of us sitting in this room who feel exactly that way about the person sitting next to us. Praise God for the wonderful relationships that he gives us. This is a great week to tell the other person how thankful you are for them. And those of you that don't have, that are not married, I know many of you here, and for some of you, you're glad about that. And others of you are not so glad about that. That'd be something that you wish was different in your life. Well, thank you for being faithful to continue to trust God. I know it's hard sometimes to do that, but you know, his love for you endures forever, and his plan is eternal, and we trust that he will, in his perfect timing, do what is best for you as well. And Mike, before you come up, I don't want to just take a minute and pray for Sarah as she goes into this CAT scan. Let's do that. Lord, we want to pray for Sarah right now, that you will give her peace that transcends understanding, that you will recognize your love for her. She'll feel it today. And we pray that this test that she's going through will give clarity, and that the news will be good. We pray that the news will be good, that that this trial for her will end soon. We trust you with this. We know that you want to do, that you're going to do what's best for her. And so we just want to tell you that we think that the best thing would be for her to be healthy. And so we ask you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Mike.
So the thing I'm most grateful for is categorically that God doesn't always answer prayers the way that we want him to. Mm-hmm. A lot of you guys know what I've been through over the last year, a lot of ups and downs, and I'm really grateful for a lot of your friendship over this time period and being there while I was down. But during the whole year, one thing that really I've been grateful for is, and that's given me a lot of peace, is that God, I don't know who said it, but God only ever gives us what we would ask for if we know as much as he did. Mm-hmm. And so I went through a really difficult time, but on the other side of it, if I got exactly what I asked for, I wouldn't have what I have now, which is an engagement to a really wonderful person. And because of the faithfulness and grace and love I've seen from God this past year, I'm confident in the merits that I'm gonna have. And that, you know, God's really going to use us strongly to be a blessing to other people. You know, if it was just me and me being reliant on who I am, I would be really worried about getting married, right? That's a big commitment. But because of God and his character, and because of the fact that he is what we're building our relationship and friendship on, I'm just so confident that God is going to use us to make, to be a blessing to tons of people going forward.
Thank you. Rob.
Thank you. It's good to be with you all today. Thank you for your testimony. God's plans are so much better than our plans, aren't they? It's just amazing. And My name's Rob Groom, and I'm the person that Meredith was talking about. My wife and I lived in the community here for about 25 years, and now we live in Kenya. And I have to tell you, I just praise God because, you know, it says in Psalm 139, He knew us before we were ever born in our mother's womb, and He put things in our heart then. And my wife and I, for many years, we've had this love for the country of Africa. And we waited 40 years, but God has finally brought us there. And I worked here at Maine Med, and I work with the heart-lung machine and take care of heart patients. And God took us to the place in the world that has the highest rate of rheumatic heart disease in the whole world. So I just thank Him and praise Him for that, that for us, a dream to serve in the continent of Africa came true for us this year, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for each one of you. In that same psalm, it says that He ordains our steps before we're even born, every step. So, you know, we made our way into this place today to worship Him and praise Him, and He ordained that step, and I just thank Him for that. He loves us so much. He has such wonderful plans for our lives, and you know, all we need to do is trust Him, like you said so well, trust Him that His plans are so much better than our plans. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great testimony, and it doesn't surprise me at all that God put you at the place that's as needy as it is. I mean, the way of Jesus is to step into need, you know, and our life is eternal. And so all the blessings that we hope for are going to be ours forever, but we have this period of time. And this is true for all of us. This is true for those of us that know that God has done that in our lives, and it's true for those of us who wonder why we're not somewhere else, you know, that He has us where we are because there's a great need. He needs us to be there because He cares so much about everybody that we come in contact with. And you are where you are because God wants you to represent Jesus there. Believe that today and thank God for that. Who's next?
Okay, so this is completely out of my comfort zone. but I know if I don't do it, I'm going to regret it. So, sorry, thank you. It's been a really challenging year. For me, we've gone through like a lot of parenting struggles and broken bones, kind of like they have. And it just seems like it's all been a really big challenge for me. But in all of it, God has really just shown me that He's there no matter what. Like, you know, He's brought people to support us, to show up when we need help. And even through all of this breaking He's doing in me, I can see He's healing me, kind of like that song said, and just making me stronger for Him. And I just thank Him for that, because that's ultimately, you know, what we want. We want to be stronger for Him. We want Him to use us, and that's what He's doing through this. So I just thank Him for that and everybody's support. Thank
that's
you.
Great. Thank you, Miranda. Donna.
I've also been to Kenya. Is that what that yellow stuff was? Here I thought it was mustard. And I've also been on the heart and lung machine. I've had open heart surgery, and for those of you who remember when I first came to the church, when I first moved up from Boston, I had to go in back to Boston to Mass General and have open heart surgery, and as you can see, it was successful. I thank the Lord first for my salvation in Him and the great love that He had, because I was one of those tough nuts to crack. I mean, He had to take the big guns out from heaven to come after me. Also for my family. I also wanted to thank Him for the privilege that I've had to go into, through ABBA, the pregnancy, the Women's Resource Center that I work with, that I've been involved with for about 4 or 5 years. I've also had the privilege of going in through the Salvation Army to talk to women at Crossroads, the drug and alcohol rehab. And as each time that I go in there, we go in several times a year, and I've been able to share a lot more about the Lord as He's given me courage, because I want to make sure I'm doing it correctly. And when I saw the scripture up there, I couldn't help but identify that they are hearing more about the great love that the Lord has for them. Because many of them, and this is a volunteer program where they sign themselves in, many times these are courageous women that have made it, because the Narcan that we give them for the opiate recovery doesn't always work. And these are women who have survived. And just to hear the love of God that he has for them, I just pray that they'll know more and more, because we're on the schedule to go several more times in there. So I pray and thank the Lord for giving me courage to say more about him in my presentations, because the programs that we give are about sexual integrity, abuse, domestic abuse, the brain and how it works, and then drugs and alcohol. So to be able to entwine his love for them, I just see so much progress that's being made, and they are responding to it. So if you would just keep these women in prayer, because they really need it. And I thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Lindsay.
Good morning. I just want to thank basically every single one of you that's part of the White Pine Church family. This has been a long 20 months. I just counted it out. I'm like 20 months since what we used to know as normal has gone by. And each and every Sunday that I show up in person again and again and just see all of your faces is bringing that to me normalcy back into my life, and it then makes me think back about how thankful I am for these last 20 months. There are churches that have closed, and we were just talking about that earlier this morning, and we have been able to keep our doors open, both whether it was virtually or now in person again, and I just feel like that's been everybody has been a part of that, whether you were preaching from home, leading worship from home, joining virtually, at the beginning and even now, and then showing up in person now. This really is a resilient church family, and I just thank you for your commitment to each other, to this family, and to God, to continue to show up and worship together and fellowship and just really solidify our relationships for his good. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, earlier our tech team up there was mentioned. Brad's up there right now doing the live stream. Mike does it a lot. Sam Bonavie also does that. Brian, my son, does stuff from home, from California every week, so that we're ready for Sunday also. So we are thankful for a lot of people that are doing their best to help people during this really hard time. And I have to say that I was thinking about the people in the medical profession, what they've done. I was thinking about people that are in the unenviable position of having to make really hard decisions and don't get a lot of gratitude for that, because we're so opinionated. Think about the people and how easy it has been to question the motives of our leaders when they're doing what, you know, maybe some have bad motives, but for the most part, whatever their differences from us, they're trying their best to help to do what's best for people. They're trying to care for people. May we be a church body that really gets that, and it has enough graciousness to look past some of these surface things, to recognize that there are people that are really trying to serve us in our community, in our state, in our nation, and may we lead the way in being grateful for them and the way that God uses imperfect people to accomplish his will. Anybody else? Roger.
I'd like to give thanks to my parents. Especially, I have my dad on my heart right now, because he's not doing well. And he's got a lot of things that are wrong with him physically, and he doesn't think he's gonna be around a lot longer. And my siblings and I are praying for him daily and spending a lot of time with him and do a weekly Bible study with him, and just want him to be right with God. And I just want to give thanks to him. Greg was saying God uses imperfect people. That would be all of us to do miracles and perfect things in his world. And my parents were teenagers when they started their family. I was the first, and followed by three more. And they've done a lot of things that would be considered kind of not the way of the world. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate that my parents always showed up. My dad has always showed up. And he, like me, is not a perfect person, but I never doubted his love for me. He pointed his, we weren't a highly religious family, but there was no question that we had a creator and that we were to point our compass in that direction. And that's never been in doubt in my family. I have three wonderful siblings who are all strong Christians, and that support network for me is really everything in my life, and I want to just make sure I honor my parents and thank them for that, for the hard work they did and the sacrifices that they made. It was a lot of difficult times along the way, but they never gave up. So I want to thank God for that.
I'm going to ask you just to take a minute and bow your head, and let's those of us that have not said anything to the rest of the group about what we're thankful for still have things in our heart, and just talk to God right now and tell him what you are most thankful for. This is not enough time, Lord, for us to spill out all the things that are in our hearts, that when we really stop and think about it, that we are really grateful for. And when we bare our hearts before you, we have loved ones that we want to pray for. We're thankful that you have an eternal plan. We're thankful that you're not late ever. But we have people that in our lives that we love, that we've been praying for a really long time, especially for their salvation, because we want them to be with us in heaven. And right now, we do it again. We just lift their names up to you, and we ask you to do whatever it takes to break through and to help them to know that you love them, that you're real, and that Jesus gave his life for them. Together, we thank you for the blessings that are obvious and for the ones that we take for granted and for the ones that are hidden behind trials. We thank you for all of those things. Thank you that you are a God who has a love for us that will never fail, that it will endure forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I know that there are years that we go through when it's hard to think of something that we're thankful for because we're really kind of overwhelmed with what's hard. And whenever I'm feeling like that, I'm always reminded of Romans 5:8, which says, "The proof of God's amazing love is this, that it was while we were sinners that Christ died for us." So no matter what the circumstances are in our lives at any given point in time, it'll never change the fact that we actually had a person who came and lived on this earth who actually gave up his very life for us. Like, he died actually in our place so that we would be able to not die, so that we'd be able to live forever. That's what Jesus did for us. So I'm grateful that the cross tells us the truth when circumstances lie to us. We're going to say thank you to God this morning by taking communion together. It's going to happen in a few minutes, not right now, because I want you to have some time to really meditate on this, to be open with God about why you need what Jesus gave us, to think about the fact that his body, his very physical body, was nailed to a cross, and his real human blood was shed there, you know, to make us whiter than snow in the eyes of God. May all of us appreciate that more as we just think about that. And when we take communion in a few minutes, this is what the Bible says as one of the reasons why we do it. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 said, "Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Sort of an interesting thing. Like, who are we proclaiming the Lord's death to? Well, When we take communion in church, we're proclaiming the Lord's death to anybody that's in our presence that is not yet a Christian. And there's always people like that. I'm sure there are people in this room, there are people watching right now that have never before like made a firm decision in your life. I'm going to trust completely in Jesus and what he did for me on the cross, rather than trusting in myself to be pleasing to God. And so we're proclaiming to you in this act of communion, we're proclaiming to you that we believe that Jesus died for all of us, including you. And we're proclaiming the good news that if you will believe in him and entrust yourself to him, that he will forgive all of your sins and he'll give you a fresh start in your life and he'll give you the promise that you're going to live forever. We want that for you so much. And it's one of the main reasons why we exist. It's one of the main reasons why we gather, not just for ourselves, but also to share with you what God has done for us and what he can also do for you. So may this be a time when you think about your relationship with God, and maybe for the first time ever, when you just kind of cross that line and say, I believe that Jesus died for me and I want him in my life.